President-elect Trump's nominee for Secretary of Defense tells his Senate hearing the U.S. military isn't as strong as it needs to be to confront global threats. Retired Marine Corps General James Mattis says the military's equipment is badly in need of repair and reset. But he says he's not yet willing to endorse the specifics of the military buildup Donald Trump advocated during the campaign. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu has the highlights of Mattis's testimony.
During the course of a more than 2.5 hour confirmation hearing, Mattis repeatedly pointed to military readiness as one of the biggest challenges he believes he'll face as defense secretary. In particular, the condition of the equipment the military's been using for more than a decade of wars without adequately funding its repair and maintenance.
If we're going to continue to use it, it's got to be refurbished. It's got to be at the top of its game. Second point is that this committee and this Congress has provided a lot of money for a lot of ships and planes and other equipment. And if we don't maintain that gear, it's worthless. So we're going to have to increase our operations and maintenance funds. Further, as the world situation dictates this, we are going to have to adapt and strengthen the military. The one commitment I would give you, Senator, is that as we're doing this, I'm going to be working with our allies to make sure that it's not only the American taxpayer who's carrying this burden. Those nations that share our values, those nations that share perhaps just our security concerns, we're going to work with them so that we maintain the strongest alliances possible. So I'm not coming to you trying to get the American military to do what is rightly more of an alliance kind of work or coalition or partnership work.
And although he promised to work harder to gain financial contributions from allied countries, Mattis also sought to reassure Congress that he's a deep believer in the NATO alliance, despite suggestions by President-elect Trump during the 2016 campaign that he might not uphold the treaty's mutual defense commitments if member countries did not contribute enough of their own funds.
I have had discussions with him on this issue. He has shown himself open, even to the point of asking more questions and going deeper into the issue about why I feel so strongly. And he understands where I stand, and I'll work with the other members of the team, national security team, once the Senate confirms them, to carry these views forward.
In broad terms, Mattis said the downsizing of the military that's been underway since the onset of the Budget Control Act has been too severe, and says he will need to work with Congress to eliminate the budget caps.
I don't believe in mathematical calculus that basically makes the Congress spectators as salami slice cuts come in, and you do not have control over that. If I can't make the argument for you for why we need a military program, then I'm willing to lose it. But if I can make that argument, should you confirm me, I don't want the Congress in a role where sequestration is making decisions for you. And you're not able to influence this.
Mattis advocated for a larger military, but declined to specifically endorse the plan the president-elect advocated during the campaign, including a Navy buildup to 350 ships compared to the currently planned 308 and an increase of 90,000 soldiers in the active duty Army.
In my discussion with the president-elect, he wants to strengthen the military. I'll have to look at those numbers in particular. I would tell you that he takes the issue seriously, as you can see from what he's proposed there. And I believe that that is the right direction. The timing, the phasing of that, and making certain that whatever you've already bought for us is fully maintained. These are challenges that we'll have to look at for current readiness and future readiness of the force. But I believe the direction he has outlined is accurate.
On the civilian side of the Defense Department workforce, Mattis said in written responses to questions from the Senate that he's committed to reducing the size of DOD's headquarters to no more employees than are necessary, but he seemed to shy away from numerical targets, such as the 25% staff reduction Congress mandated in the last two defense authorization bills. Mattis says the workforce should be sized according to whatever level is necessary to accomplish its assigned tasks. And during Thursday's hearing, Mattis said he'd look for ways to employ technology in ways that might help reduce the size of the Pentagon's bureaucracy, but he also reminded lawmakers that congressional mandates are partly responsible for the organization's size and complexity.
With technology and with new approaches, we can do some of the things that skip echelon, where you don't need something at each echelon, you remove it and you actually expedite processes and this sort of thing. What we don't want to do is continue to have layer upon layer of bureaucracy that's not value added. But how we go through and remove it is probably going to take collaboration with this committee, because in many cases, those elements are there as part of our organization set by the Congress. So I'll have to come to you and show you what I propose to manage it better and show you what the problem is. And if I get your agreement there, I think we can move forward on it.
With regard to cyber, Mattis agreed with several senators, including Committee Chairman John McCain, who said the U.S. still does not have a comprehensive strategy for integrating cyber into military doctrine in a way that can credibly deter adversaries from launching network-based attacks. But he asserted that devising such a plan is not just the military's job.
I believe a lot of crises and even wars have started from miscalculation. So while it's important we make clear what we stand for, I think in an area such as cyber, it's also important that our adversaries know what we absolutely will not tolerate. And by making that clear, you're less apt to have somebody stumble into a situation where now we're forced to take action. That said, putting together a policy like this is not something the Department of Defense can do alone. We certainly have a key role, a fundamental role. But at the same time, from our Treasury Department to our Commerce Department to our Homeland Security, we need to get a lot of people in the room and put this policy together. I realize it's a new domain, but that doesn't give us an excuse not to address it on an urgent basis.
On personnel matters, Mattis was challenged at several points about whether he would seek to overturn key decisions during the Obama administration that opened ground combat positions to women and ended the ban on military service by openly gay Americans. In each case, he said his primary concern was military readiness and that he was not actively planning to overturn any policies regarding who was allowed to serve and in what positions.
Senator, I've never come into any job with an agenda, of a preformed agenda of changing anything. I come in assuming the people before me deserve respect for the job they did and the decisions they made. I'm coming in with the understanding that I lead the Department of Defense, and if someone brings me a problem, then I'll look at it. But I'm not coming in looking for problems. I'm looking for ways to get the department so it's at the most lethal stance, and in that regard, it's all about military readiness.
Eventually, the full Senate voted 81-17 to give Mattis the legal waiver he'll need to serve as defense secretary, since his appointment would otherwise violate a federal law that requires the secretary to have been out of uniform for at least 7 years. The House is expected to take up the same measure on Friday, but that vote is likely to be much more lopsided along party lines. That's because Mattis, who was originally scheduled to testify Thursday in front of the House Armed Services Committee to reassure lawmakers about his commitment to civilian control of the military, had his appearance abruptly canceled by the Trump transition team. Mac Thornberry is the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee.
I have to confess that these are circumstances which I did not expect us to face. My intention, as I made clear to the committee and to the transition team in December and since, was to have General Mattis come testify before us on his views on civilian control of the military before we vote on the exception resolution. And let me be clear, General Mattis was willing and eager to do so.
Thornberry called the decision by the Trump team to prohibit Mattis from testifying before the House short-sighted, but nonetheless urged his colleagues to vote in favor of the waiver that will let him take the secretary's post. Republicans on the committee did so, but their Democratic colleagues were united in opposing the measure at the urging of the ranking member, Adam Smith. He says regardless of Mattis's qualifications, approving the waiver without demanding that he deliver testimony about his views on military-civilian relations would be an abdication of Congress's duties.
All we're asking today is that we uphold the law and that we uphold the importance of this committee and that we don't just roll over because somebody in Trump Tower said, nope, we're not going to send him. And for no good reason. I mean, General Mattis can handle himself. You watched him testify. I mean, what are we going to do to him? It just would have allowed us to actually do the job that we were elected to do. And so our failure to stand up for that, I think, is a mistake.
Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.